If you will turn back with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. Look with me at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. Now, the first thing I want us to notice is, as God's messenger, that is absolutely critical. We don't stand here in our own power. Paul said, I've come not to you with excellency of speech and enticing words of man's wisdom. We're not here in our own ability. This preaching is God's work. When God sends a prophet with his word, that's God's doing. It's crucial that the hand of the Lord must be upon us. If there's going to be a blessing, when we come here, we desire a blessing, don't we? If there's going to be a blessing, we must have the power. We must have the hand of the Lord. We must have the presence of God. We know where two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in our midst. And before we come here, we ought to, and I believe we do, pray, Lord, send your spirit and dwell in our midst. We need him. We need his presence. Moses said, when God sent him to lead the children of Israel, he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Lord, if you're not with me, don't even let us go. And that's true right now. I pray that the Lord, like he was with Ezekiel here, I pray that he would be with us. Look at verse 1 again. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. God led him out and God set him down. And that's important. We need to be set down. All of us, we need to be set down, especially those of us who stand and speak. It's so easy to get a hot head. We need to be set down. We must take our rightful place. And our rightful place is exactly where God set Ezekiel down. It says he set him down in the middle of a valley full of bones. Quite literally, a graveyard. And why is it important that we sit down in the middle of a graveyard? Because that's where we belong. We're sinners. And the wages of sin is death. That's where we belong. That's where we are as a result of our sin. And we must never forget that. As we heard this, we must never grow above that. We're still just sinners. Look at verse 2. And he caused me to pass by them round about. God sent his prophet to this graveyard. God sent his prophet to this valley of bones. Our God is a merciful God, isn't he? Why would he do such a thing? Well, I'll tell you this, I'm sure glad he sent his prophet to me. Aren't you? What would we do had he not sent his prophet with his word to us? Now these bones, like us, they paint a good picture of us. These bones, they had nothing to offer. There was nothing in those bones that caused God to send his prophet to them. And again, that's true for us. There's nothing in us that made God say, yeah, I'm going to send my word to them. We didn't deserve it. We don't deserve it. These bones were cut off. They were far gone. They were far gone. Look at verse 2 again. He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. These bones were laying out here in the open for anyone who walks by to see them. It was no secret. These bones, whoever they belonged to, they had suffered a great defeat. Whatever war they might have been in, one thing we know for sure, they lost. And this represents us in Adam, what happened in the Garden of Eden. God created man perfect, upright, in his holy image, and we lost it. We lost it. Man had perfect fellowship and communion with God Almighty, and we lost it. We lost it. And as a result, we're these bones. God gave us everything. We lost everything. And notice the end of verse 2 here. these bones, they were very dry. They weren't just dry, very dry. They had no moisture, no marrow, no strength, no life, nothing. They had nothing. No hope. Can we see ourselves in these bones? That's the first thing we must see. We must see that these bones paint a perfect picture of who we are, dead in our sin. These bones are us. Now, I know religion likes to speak a little more highly of these bones, but I'm not going to. There's not a little bit of marrow, a little bit of blood in these bones. No, none. There's not a little bit of good in us. If we just try real hard to find it, it's not there. We're worse off than we could ever imagine. And I'm here to declare that it's as bad as it can be. It certainly was for these bones. And it is for us too. It's as bad as it can be. There's nothing we can do about our sin. There's nothing we can do about it. We cannot provide a remedy or a cure for our sin, for our depraved, lost condition. We can't do it. The fact of the matter is, we need a physician. We need a great physician who can do the impossible. For someone like me to be saved, it's going to take an absolute miracle of the grace of God. That's where I am. And that's what I'm here to declare to you. We are these bones. Now look here in verse 3 of our text. And he, the Lord, said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Well, that took a quick turn, didn't it? What a question. What a prospect. I'm sure Ezekiel wasn't thinking about these bones living. Not again. It was obvious they lived once and they died. But for the Lord to look at these bones and put ourselves in these bones' place, for the Lord to say, can these bones live? You mean to tell me there might be hope for a sinner like me? Can there be hope for a sinner like me? Look at verse 3 again. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I love his answer. And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. It's not up to me. It's not up to us. O Lord God, thou knowest. You see, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. God can and God will make these dead, dry bones to live. Does that make you rejoice? Praise God. Well, how does he do it? How does God give life to these dead, dry bones? Look at verse 4 here. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones. Ezekiel, you see these bones? Preach to them. Preach to them. What an odd request. Not a request. What an odd command. Preach to them. But they're dead. What good is that going to do? They're dead. How is a dead man going to hear me preach to them? Let's consider that in our day. What good is it going to do to preach to a dead sinner? How's a dead man going to hear the word of the Lord? How's a dead man going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved? That's what we declare, right? That's what we preach. How foolish. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians 1. We read this morning, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You see, the preaching of the gospel, it's foolish to men. It's a foolish means in our sight. But to God, that's the power and wisdom of God. That's how God's been pleased to speak life into his people. That's the way he purposed to speak life into these bones. It sure is. Turn back there with me. Ezekiel 37. Verse 4 again. He said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What is our message? Here's the first thing God has commanded us to declare. O ye dry bones. The first thing I must do is remind us what we are. We're dead, dry bones. We're not to sugarcoat it. We're not to butter each other up. We're here to say there's none good, no, not one. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faint from the top of my head to the bottom of my foot. I'm nothing but sin. That's what we're to declare. And then we're to declare what he said here. O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. We're here to tell you. We read it again this morning. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. We can't do anything good. And then we turn around and tell you to do the impossible. Hear the word of the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Well, doesn't that sound like a contradiction? How are we gonna do this? Why is that what we declare? Well, here's why. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must have faith. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Well, how does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must hear the word of God. We must believe the word of God. Well, how are we going to do that? God must quicken us. That's what he's about to do for these bones. And that's exactly what he must do for us if we're going to believe him, if we're going to be saved, if we're going to have life. And that's why God sent his prophet to prophesy unto these bones. That's why God still sends his messengers to speak to these bones. That he might quicken them. He might give them an ear to hear him speak through his word. Verse 5. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. What do we preach? Thus saith the Lord. Nothing else. Thus saith the Lord God. And I thought about this. Ezekiel, while you're preaching to these bones, I'm going to speak to these bones. You see, it's not us you must hear. I can promise you, if you just hear my voice, it won't do you any good. We got to hear him speak. God speaks through his word, and it's crucial that we must hear his voice. John 5, verse 25, our Lord said, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. We must hear, and your soul shall live. We must hear Christ speak. We must hear him speak. Verse 5 again, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. There it is. What a hope. What hope for these dead, dry bones. What hope for me. What hope for you. You go tell them, behold, I will, and you shall. I tell you, that's a glorious message to declare. It never gets old. I'm so honored and privileged to get to declare such a wonderful message. I will and you shall. That's the gospel. That's the gospel that we declare. That's the only gospel there is. Can these bones live? James 4, verse 5, or James 4, 15 says, if the Lord will, we shall live. If the Lord will, only if the Lord will. Verse 6, and I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin. This covering represents the Lord Jesus Christ, His blood, His righteousness. If we're going to have life, we've got to have His blood and His righteousness. We have to have a sin covering. We're sinners. Our sin must be covered. And not only that, we must have the righteousness of God if we're going to stand before a holy God in the judgment. We must have Christ. Christ is our life. Doesn't matter what we have if we don't have Him. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Verse 6, I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. Now these bones, they're dead, but they're about to live, all right? The gospel Ezekiel's about to preach to them is, behold what great things the Lord hath done for you. That's what we declare. Not what can we do. What great things the Lord hath done for you. Look at verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Ezekiel did not question the wisdom of God in telling him to preach to these bones. I tried thinking about it. If I were in his shoes, I would, you know, probably question the command. He did not question God. He did not question God's wisdom. He did not question God's power, His ability to raise these bones to life. He simply prophesied as He was commanded. He did not try to get these bones to do something. He did not say, all right, now this thing is a cooperation. You bones are going to have to start stretching, flexing out and coming together. No. He knew they could do nothing. You know why? Because God had taught him he could do nothing. He preached the word of the Lord. He preached the word of the Lord. You know what God's promised to bless? His word. Nothing else. He's promised to bless His word. He said, my word shall not return unto me void. And I'm so glad to know that. It gives me such hope. His word shall not return void, even when preached to dead, dry bones. Perhaps especially when preached to dead, dry bones. Verse 7 again, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. When the word of the Lord comes to a sinner, things get shaken up. Something happens. Our world gets turned upside down. Nothing's the same. Things begin to change. We start to wonder, what's going on? What's going on? I'll tell you what's going on. God had begun a work in them. Bones didn't do anything. God began working them. Look at verse 8. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Now, at this point, these bones represent something. They represent men and women lost in religion. All right? Now, obviously, God doesn't begin to work in someone who's not saved, so that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is these bones, they started coming together. They had an appearance of godliness, but denied the power thereof. Okay. They looked good. There are many people in religion who look good. They impress people. Our Lord said this concerning the Pharisees, that they're just going about to impress men. They wanted men to glory in them. They weren't interested in the praise of God. These bones, that's what they represent, because they had no breath in them. We've got to have the breath of God in us if we're going to have life. Ezekiel preached the gospel to these bones, but he could not give them life. I can't give you life. God must give us life. God must give us life. Our calling, when we preach the gospel, it's not to get people saved. If anything, it's to get them to learn your dead, dry bones. It's not to get people saved. It's to preach the gospel and wait on the Lord. He will cause his dead, dry bones to live. He will. He's not going to lose a single one. Verse 9. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. That's our prayer before we dare stand in this pulpit, is that God will send his spirit, bless his word to every heart here, because we can't do it. And as the one bringing the message, we pray that God will bless the word to our heart first. If he doesn't bless it to my heart, it sure won't be a blessing to you. I promise you that. But God must make it effectual. God must make it effectual. And he makes it effectual. He does. He does. We pray, Lord, speak to us. Quicken us. Give us faith to believe you. Cause us to look to you, trust in you, rest in you. Save us. Why is that our prayer? Because we can't do it. I can't do anything for myself. I can't do anything for you. I can't give myself faith. God must give me faith. I can't give myself life. We have a little baby girl on the way, and we pray every day that God would give her life. Because that's all that matters. And if she's going to have life, God must give it. And I rejoice to know, as we're reading, he gives it. He gives it. He's able to give it. Verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Can these bones live? By the grace and power and operation of God Almighty, yes, they can. Yes, they can. When the Spirit of God breathes life into a dead sinner, that sinner lives. That sinner lives. And I love how it says here, they stood up upon their feet an exceeding great army. I mentioned they, whatever war they were in, they lost. Well, now Christ has won the battle for them. They can't die anymore. No more death. No. No more defeat. He's given us the victory through Christ. How did they stand? They stood in him. We stand in him. We're without strength, ungodly. Christ is our strength. He's our rock. He's our foundation. We stand in him. He's our life. Look at verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now Israel, the spiritual Israel, the elect of God, God's people, we're said to be his bones, the bones of Christ. And I love this. Psalm 34, verse 20 says, he keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken, not one. You remember at the cross when our Lord gave up the ghost and the thieves beside him, they died. The soldiers, they went and they broke both the thieves' legs, and they were going to break our Lord's legs, or so they thought. And then they said, well, he's dead already. No need to break his legs. Well, it wasn't a coincidence. It was written. Here's what it says. That the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. That gives me such hope. Not one. Because if one of his bones could be broken, I just know it'd be this one. Not one can be broken. And the reason is, he was broken for us. He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. What a blessing. Verse 11 again. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. These are my people. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. That's our confession. Our bones are dried. Our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Is that your confession? I was lost and undone without God's precious Son when he reached down his hand for me. And I thought of this song as well. Dark the stain that soiled man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, into deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain opened, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. Praise the Lord for full salvation. God still reigns upon his throne, and I know the blood still reaches deeper than the stain has gone. You see, like these bones, they have no hope. No hope without God, without Christ in this world, but God. But God. That's our only hope. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace we're saved. He's made us nigh by the blood of Christ. That's the only way I can be saved. That's how these bones were saved. It's the only way we're going to be saved. Look at verse 12. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. When God saves us, we know He saved us. We don't have to wonder who saved us. From start to finish, salvation's of the Lord. He saved us. And He's still saving us. And one day we shall be saved once and for all. He saved us. When He saves us, we know He is the Lord. This flesh doesn't know who the Lord is. That poor Samaritan woman, she didn't have a clue. She said, I know when Messiah cometh. She did not know the Messiah until He stood right in front of her and He said, I am. I am the Lord. He brought us up out of our graves. We don't have to die. We don't have to die an eternal death because Christ died our death for us. And since He died for us, now we live, move, and have our being in Him. We live in Him. He went to the cross to prepare a place for us. And He's going to come again. And He's going to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also, Him and all His bones, forever. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can these bones live? Praise God, He's made these bones to live. Amen.